The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you joined us. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events, and also what we hear in church. Is it even in the Bible at all? Got a question you'd like to ask us? That number again, 8888. Ask CSN. We've got a couple lines open if you want to be part of the program today. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker about an hour and a half after this program is over, Jeff Wickwire from Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, and welcome, Jeff.
Hello, Mike. And I want to add, in the DFW area, I'm on immediately after this show, but only in the DFW area at 6 o'clock. It's called Life Talk, but it will be called Hardwired, starting the first Monday of January. But if you're listening to us right now in DFW area, we're on 91.3 and my show comes on immediately. But other than that, looking forward to being with you today, Mike. Our country is in a state of high-level tension over this Kyle Rittenhouse verdict that could come down any moment, today or tomorrow. And, it's just one of those things that has become a national obsession. If you're a conservative in your viewpoint, your worldview, and your understanding of law, then you believe that Kyle Rittenhouse was totally involved in only self-defense, that is what he was doing, defending his own life when he shot and took the life of two men attacking him during the riots last summer in Wisconsin, and Kenosha, Wisconsin. But if you're of the leftist mindset, you're calling for his prosecution for murder. And so it's one of those things, Mike, that when the verdict comes down, no matter which way it goes, there's going to be really, really strong emotions on both sides. So need to be praying for our country over that, because it is high level. It's every bit as tense as the George Floyd murder caused. It's that kind of tension and focus.
Well, and isn't it the ones that are demanding his murder conviction? It's Antifa, all these left wing loon groups that are out there. You know, they were the ones burning the city down when he decided to defend himself.
Yeah.
So what's wrong is right. Right is wrong.
Mm-hmm. And it is. And right now, I've read stories, news reports of the BLM, Antifa, other radical, violence-prone groups are out there and calling for his prosecution in trying their best to intimidate the sequestered jury, who we're told can hear them from the outside. The judge in the case really should call for the police and have these people removed from the vicinity, because they're doing their best to intimidate the jury, which would be jury tampering. And so all kinds of things going on, but we need to pray, because if they come out and say, for instance, that he's vindicated, he won't be charged for murder and he is set free, there's going to be a major, major riot in Kenosha and around the country. People will take it as an excuse to riot.
So, well, and you got this loon group, Antifa. I mean, you know, you're out destroying cities, burning cities, threatening people. And then when anybody pushes back against this, you're the bad guy.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I don't know when it is. I don't know where the line will be crossed, but they're going to push. And one of these days, it ain't going to be good. Maybe today's the day. I don't know. But, you know, it's really sad when you see this kind of intimidation in the courtroom. And the prosecutor, of course, radical left-wing loon. What was it, Jeff? He got so frothy mouth that actually the jury was removed from the courtroom. Yeah. And then the judge led into the prosecuting attorney about his rhetoric.
The judge has been a really fair man. And this prosecutor is just doing everything he possibly can to see Rittenhouse go to prison. And he was resorting to things that infuriated this judge, to where the judge finally ordered the jury out of the room. And you can look up the YouTube video. This judge lit into this prosecutor like I've never seen, and just let him know how the cow eats the cabbage, as they used to say. And, you know, what are you doing? You can't resort to this. This is not kosher. This is not legal. This is not protocol. And it's just been a very, very tense trial. And now, again, the jury is sequestered. And if they come out with a not guilty verdict, it's going to be, and they should, in my opinion, everybody's, you know, anybody can have an opinion. In my opinion, he was involved in pure self-defense. So if they come out and say not guilty, then you're going to see, I think, probably the equivalent of what happened after the George Floyd murder across the country. And already the National Guard, the police, I think even the military are on standby in Kenosha. And I'll tell you, it's tense. We need to pray for our country. Yeah. And we need to pray for really the people of Kenosha, for the jury, and everybody involved in this thing, because it's really going to blow up.
And you say, well, why did we even mention it today? Because the corrupt, rotten American news media won't tell you the truth. And it's really sad that our Alphabet Network news is not news. It's nothing but pure propaganda. It's just journalism is all it is. It has nothing to do with the news. If it does contain any news bits, very little. The rest is their commentary. And so crazy stuff. Well, with that, we'll go ahead and go to the phones. You know, after all, Jeff, when you look at all this, all I can say is what John said. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Let's go to Ron, Prescott, Arizona. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon, Pastors Mike and Jeff. In Psalm 68:17, it says that Elohim has myriad chariots, thousands upon thousands. Why does he have so many, and who flies them?
Well, I think it's metaphorical language. It's talking about angels. And the reason I would say that is because, for instance, when Elijah was taken up into heaven, it happened by chariots of fire. And when you read about chariots of fire, then you've got to go to another verse where, I believe it's the Psalms, where the psalmist says he makes his ministers a flaming fire. And ministers being angels. So I believe chariots here is a metaphorical language for God's mighty angels. They appeared like chariots to whisk Elijah into heaven as a picture of the rapture to come. And so I think if you look at the rest of the scriptures, then the Bible interprets itself. The Bible is the best interpreter of itself. And we have to conclude that this is talking about angels.
So I hope that helps.
Okay, thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, it has to be a metaphorical, and I'll tell you the reason why. Because we remember in Revelation, when Satan is loosed, the people of the world who have had to live righteously now have a choice. Satan deceives the multitudes. It says as sand is on the seashore, they come against the Lord there in Jerusalem. And the Bible says with a word, they're destroyed. Not with chariots, not with guns, not with nuclear weapons. He just says with a word, they're fried. And so I have to conclude this is a picture type of something else. And this is what I've always told people, because when it seems to be that which God doesn't need. Now, as an example, Revelation, it says every living thing in the sea dies. That's not metaphorically speaking. That is absolute. I know what the sea is. I know how things can die. We've already seen around Fukushima in Japan, the fish lining the shores that were nuclearized with the leaking power plant, the nuclear power plant. It is not hard for me to understand how that could happen. It's not hard for me to understand with the solar flares, how it could be given to the power to the sun to scorch men who live on the earth. I don't believe those are metaphorical. But when we see something that, behold, I am the door. Jesus is not an oak door. He goes, I will gather them under my wing. Now God's a big chicken. We understand that there are picture types. But the idea that the power the people recognized in those days was in your army and in your chariots, God identifies that, even though really it's not needed. And just as you said, Elijah was carried up in a whirlwind like a fiery chariot, the Bible says. Hope that helps.
Thank you much, pastors.
Ron, God bless you. Keep reading. Let's go to Paul in Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hey, guys. Always a pleasure to try and stump the panel here. I love it. Hey, do we have any reason to believe that there's a biblical connection to cultures and countries that worship a red dragon?
Okay, Jeff.
We do know that the devil is likened to a dragon in the book of Revelation. I believe it's chapter 13, not sure, but I'm thinking 13, that he is likened to a red dragon. Or to a dragon. And he is pictured waiting to devour the Christ child when he is born. And John, in his vision of what he's looking backward, actually, to when Christ was born, there in the spiritual arena, the dragon, Satan, was desirous of devouring him right off the bat, so that he could not grow up to be the destroyer, the bruiser of his head. So I think that the edict of King Herod, that all the male children 2 years old and under would be slaughtered, was the dragon's attempt to take out Christ. And that's what John saw. Now, of course, China is symbolized by the dragon. And we know that China is definitely named in the book of Revelation as being involved, heavily involved, integrally involved in the War of Armageddon as the kings of the East. So, I see a connection there, Paul, and I don't know if that's what you're thinking, but one of the ways Satan is described in the Bible is as a dragon. And, for what it's worth, Satan is always standing ready to devour something of God when it is first introduced to the world. Like I can remember when my ministry began, just my own personal ministry, way back when I was a late teenager. And I can remember the level of attack that came against me was unbelievable. So much so that I was so tempted to quit. And we can look through scripture and through the testimonies of people throughout church history, that when God began to do a new thing, a revival, an awakening, a reformation, whatever it was, we can see that Satan was right there, standing right there to devour that thing before it grew legs and ran. And so I believe that that's at least one connection to Satan the dragon and cultures that are identified by a dragon like China, Mike?
Yeah, and the Chinese worship red dragon. They believe it brings good fortune and all these different things. But again, it's just another one of many diversions in the world that we're in today concerning false gods, false religious systems. And we find that it is an idea of somehow that you will invoke this to bring about good fortune in your life. And it's really nothing more than just superstition. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. Throughout the Bible, you always see dragon mentioned, but in Revelation 12, I just happened to see it mentioned as a red dragon, and that's what brought it to my attention. Hey, that sounds familiar, but yeah. I can't find anywhere else in the Bible he's referred to as being red. I just thought that kind of stuck out a little bit. So,
well, the only culture that I know of that worships the red dragon right now is the Chinese, and actually, under the communist government, all religion is prohibited. So you've got kind of some internal issues there and traditions that you're dealing with. But realizing that China is going to be a major world player in the end times, that when the Bible talks about the kings of the East, 200 million come across to make war in the Valley of Megiddo, the Battle of Armageddon. It is they are going to be a formidable player in the end times. And it's very possible that the Chinese will not capitulate with the one world order, because we do find that there is an issue in the Antichrist consolidation of the nations, that there are is at least three that he has to continually contend with to keep them under his control. So China may be one and eventually revolt, and that's why you have the Armageddon War. But it's going to be an interesting thing, because, again, right now the only one I know that has anything to do with the Red Dragon is China. Hope that helps.
Okay, it does. Thanks.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Let's go to Jeff in Hawaii. Aloha.
Hi, aloha.
Hi.
Hi. My question was in Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, verse 20, and he says he told, I guess God is telling, or an angel told Joseph to arise and take the young child and mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are
Egypt.
Dead, which sought the child's life.
Oh, yeah. Go. Okay. Israel, once he was already in Egypt. Yes.
Then it says that he arose with the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go thither. I'm like, why is he afraid when God already told him to go?
Well, he was still going to Israel. He just didn't go to the town he originally, I think, was going to go to. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, he tells him in verse 20 to go to the land of Israel. But in verse 22, he specifies and tells him to turn aside from where they had been before they had fled Israel. And he went into the land of Galilee where he was safe. So God, and this is interesting as well. I think it's instructive for all of us that scripture and God in his leading our lives, you know, we take a step of faith. And I've learned that if God tells you to do something and you obey it, it tends to open up your next door. And then if you obey, once you walk through that door, it opens up another door. But if you don't obey and you ask God, well, lead me and guide me, God will basically say, how come you haven't done what I told you to do last time? So we will note that Joseph obeyed God and headed back to the land. And then God spoke again and specified more clearly where he was to go in that land. And I think that's the way it works with our following Christ in a personal level. You will take a step of faith under his guidance. We'll really feel like something is his will, be it taking a new job, moving to a new house, a move from one church to another. I don't know. wherever God might be guiding you. And then once you obey that guidance, then God specifies even more closely, now here's what I want you to do now that you obeyed the last thing I said. In other words, guidance is incremental often. It is unfolding revelation often. And so when God says do something, do it. And then you'll often find that God will then say, okay, now that you obey me there, then do this here. And that's what happened with Joseph.
It's all the way through the Bible that way. So hope that helps.
Okay. I said one more question if I could.
Sure. Go ahead.
Habakkuk 3, chapter 3, 3 says God came from Timon and the Holy One from Mount Paran. Like, what does that mean?
He okay, came from Jeff. Timon.
Habakkuk 3:3. Okay, let's go to verse 2 quickly. Oh Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. Now this is a prayer of Habakkuk. Oh Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. Oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. And then verse 3, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. I'll tell you, I'm going to be honest, and I'd like to look that up during the break, and then I'm going to give you a clear as crystal answer. But that's a verse that's a little bit obscure. So rather than act like I know what I'm talking about with everything when I don't, I'm going to look it up and give you a straight up answer after our break, which is in a few minutes. So can you keep on listening?
Yeah, yeah, Jeff, can you keep on listening and we'll give you a comprehensive answer.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere. We will answer it.
Thank you. So, I use it to make a joke with my friends. I tell them, where did God come from? And it said, he always was, he always is. And I tell them to look at that. And it says God came from Timon, and they look confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll answer it.
We'll do our best to answer that for you. Stay on line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, and we'll finish the rest of your question after the break. All right?
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Blessings, Jeff. Let's go to Michaela, Tacoma, Washington. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I hope to take a moment to lay the foundation of my question. So with the state of COVID-19, I find that Christians are kind of asking the question, how do we practice the belief that our body is a temple through our daily lives and glorifying God through our body and everything we do with it? For example, like 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or do whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So I think, for example, like food consumption, alcohol, medicines, or even vaccines. So with that being said, even though COVID-19 vaccination is FDA approved, I understand it challenges kind of this fundamental operation of the physical body. So could this be considered fundamentally altering the body? Or, you know, I really feel like the enemy is challenging our beliefs here. So what does the Bible have to say, or what should we do?
Well, the Bible says to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. When we look at the FDA approval of the COVID vaccines, we realize that it was all shortcut. It was not done really according. They used some clause that they had in there for a shortcut, but you have two high ranking people, there who resigned their position because they felt that what was going on was wrong. This is one of the great problems that we have. I don't know anybody that I've talked to that doesn't know someone who's either died because of the vaccine or has had serious complications, side effects afterwards. The number that they tell us is not right. And in fact, the number is more like 800,000 people have had very serious reactions to the vaccine. There's been probably, from what we can gather, and I think that 800,000 number is actually published. And then the number of deaths, about 20,000, I believe, deaths, because of the COVID vaccine.
These are real problems. You know, you have the Los Angeles Police Department, many people in that, or Sheriff Department, rejecting the vaccine. Brad Dacus is representing them. You have over 500 workers in a hospital back east that are going to be fired if they're not already fired, over 500 doctors and nurses, because they won't take the vaccine. When I see this kind of backlash against something that's supposed to be safe and effective, I've got to conclude that it's neither safe nor effective. Remember 2 weeks ago, Colin Powell died of AIDS, or excuse me, not AIDS, excuse me, of COVID. He died of COVID. But then they said that he was vaccinated. Well, realizing what they had said, our honest American news media, they said, oh, no, it was because of the cancer and other things is what kept. No, the point is he was vaccinated and he still got COVID. That's the problem. Now, I'm not telling anybody not to get the vaccine. I don't believe I can do that. I don't think anybody should. But I can tell you, based upon the information that I've seen about it, I would never put that in my body, because it's not proven, it's not safe, it's not effective, and no one, including anybody in the government, knows what this is going to do, what the long-term effects are in 5 years. I mean, you know, you're 8 years old, you get chicken pox. Now you're in your 60s and you come down with shingles. Well, you look at that. That was a part of your DNA, if you will, settles into your nervous system that for some reason flares it up. Now I'm finding all kinds of things that'll flare that up, whether it be certain medicines, stress, all kinds of things will cause shingles to reappear. But here's the point. That's over 50 years. Here was a disease that chickenpox that now is causing problems in your 60s. Who knows what these COVID vaccinations are going to do to people? And then the third and the fourth, how many shots are we going to get? 25, 30? Is the variance change? Don't know, dear. We're coming up on a break. We'll have more of this right after this.
Can you imagine getting your college degree and graduating debt-free? Sound crazy? Here's great news. Calvary Chapel University is offering a 25% tuition scholarship on your entire degree program. And with this unique scholarship, you have a realistic way to graduate debt-free. Calvary Chapel University is one of the most affordable Christian universities in the United States, and it's fully accredited and 100% online, so you can study whenever and wherever you want. Calvary Chapel University offers bachelor's degrees and master's in biblical studies with an emphasis in biblical counseling, Christian education, and more. And with solid teachers like Skip Heitzig and David Guzik involved, you can be sure you're getting sound doctrine. This scholarship offer is available for a limited time. Find out more at calvarychapeluniversity.edu. That's calvarychapeluniversity.edu. Apply today.
You're listening to the Christian Satellite Network. We broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including multiple stations in North and South Dakota. You can listen while in Rapid City, Aberdeen, Hermosa, Dickinson, and Williston. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world live at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's Word is heard.
CSN International. Inspired worship from the hearts of believers. This is CSN International.
Back to part two of Terry Mann and Answer on this Tuesday afternoon with Jeff Wickwire. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. When we went to the break, we were speaking with Michaela about some issues concerning the COVID vaccinations and all. But before we go back to Michaela, we had our Hawaii caller call and ask where God come from. Well, Jeff, I know you've been going through your notes, and go ahead and give us our answer.
Yeah, he called about Habakkuk 3 and verse 3, where it says God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, and wanted to know, what does that mean? Well, Teman was a city or a region in southern Edom, and it was to the east of Israel. That's the important thing, to the east of Israel. Then Mount Paran is a mountain opposite of Teman, and it's also east of Israel. So what he's doing there is he's hearkening to the east where the sun rises. And what he's using is pictorial language to communicate the way God arose on his people. Because if you keep on reading, it says his glory covered the heavens. The earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light, and he had rays flashing from his hand. So he's hearkening to those particular two areas because they were east of Israel, and it was like God's glory was like the sun rising and getting brighter and brighter over his people. So that is what he was talking about when he said God came out of Teman and out of Mount Paran. That's what he's talking about. God arose on his people. And so beautiful language, poetic language, pictorial language, and that's what it was.
And the Bible says, as lightning flashes into the east and goes into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So I think we find it mentioned in other places in that pictorial language. So hope that answers it for you. Now, going back to Michaela. Michaela, I hope that that gave a little premise for what you were about to say. What was the rest of your question?
I think at this time, you know, I am a federal worker going through the COVID vaccination accommodation request and trying to understand, you know, I mean, I really feel, like I said, you know, that the enemy is challenging our beliefs. We're having to go up against, you know, our employers now with our beliefs and, you know, them breaking things down saying, well, how are you practicing what you're saying in this? And, you know, and I think, you know, for me, I try to do everything I can. I need to make sure that I'm honoring my body and making sure that I'm not defiling it anyway. And, you know, and I wish I could do, you know, and I think to myself, well, how can I do more? Especially, you know, now that this whole thing is being challenged. And I think from a biblical perspective, I mean, what should we be following? I mean, is there anything that we could follow as far as what scripture says about, you know, how to live a Christian life, even from the point of, you know, having our body as that temple and glorifying God with our body? So what, how could...
Well, Michaela, the rest of it is this. If we knew that the vaccine was safe, if we knew the vaccine was really effective, as they try to make everybody believe it is, it's not. And that's just the bottom line. That is fact. And, you know, I don't know. I've seen so many people who have gotten wrapped up in the vaccine who are dead. And this is not a good thing. This is, we're not talking about a smallpox vaccination or, you know, tetanus vaccination, something like that. We're talking something that is not good. And if somebody feels that they need to get it because of their age, some other condition, whatever, hey, that's between you and God. I'm just saying I would have definitely a religious exemption filed. Brad Dacus, is who you want to contact. PJI.org. It's free. He will tell you how to file a religious exemption. Do not use a form letter. He said they will not accept that. You have to write out. And what a great opportunity to use your heart and your witness to testify of Jesus Christ to whoever the reader might be as well. But don't use a preformed letter. Go to PJI.org. It's free, and go to their religious exemption letter header there, and it'll tell you what it should contain. And it might be a 3 or 4 page thing you'll write out. But if they make you take it or lose your job, then there's legal ramifications. And Pacific Justice Institute, Brad and his team, defend people such as yourself and others for this very reason. And if a person goes ahead and takes it for fear of losing their job and has the violent repercussions, as over 700,000, 800,000 Americans have had, whoever made you take that is 100% responsible for any damages to your body, loss of income, etc. So, in other words, if a union says you have to take it or you'll be fired, you take it, you have a violent reaction where you can't work, they are 100% liable. And this is really important. Whether it's the government or anybody else, this is a real problem because, again, they cleverly made it so you cannot go after the companies that make the vaccine. However, you can go after those who forced you to do something against your will. Now, if you just take it without anything, there's no repercussion. But if they are forcing you to do this, and before I would ever be forced into anything, I would absolutely get legal counsel from PJI or, maybe your local attorneys or whatever, because that is really in violation of your constitutional rights. Fourth, 10th, there's several there that, they can't really do this. And so this is, of course, overstepping. But the government right now is out of control. We know that. They have declared war on the American people. And this is a tragedy. If you're a border worker for the Border Patrol, if you don't take the vax, then you're fired. However, the tens of millions of illegals coming across the border do not have to be vaccinated. We're only declaring war on American citizens right now. This is the lunacy that we're all facing. This is the problem we have. We see everything toppling down. We see runaway inflation. Gas prices yesterday hit an all-time high in California. The cheapest, I think they said you could find it in California, was $4.85. They said at least a dollar and a half higher than it was under President Trump. Yeah, that's right, everybody. This is what insane management does. When you shut down the Keystone Pipeline, this is what the result is. You can't get the oil to the refineries, so you have to bring it in from someplace else, like overseas. Make sure those American dollars keep leaving America to bankrupt America. That's good to their world.
If I could say something,
go ahead, Jeff.
As well, Mike, Michaela, I hear you on the sanctity of the body, and I really believe that's one of the real arguments to make to those that are trying to mandate this shot. Every good letter that I've seen somebody write, and as a matter of fact, a couple of them have succeeded with a major corporation here in Fort Worth when they said, I believe it is a sin to put something in my body that I have questions about and that I feel is wrong. And they got their clearance. So, but I sure understand, we understand you're concerned about the body being the temple of God. You're right. It does say that in scripture very clearly. So that's, for me, the strongest argument you can make, because that takes it right down to your faith. And I really hope that helps.
Yes, dear, I hope it does. And stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, okay?
Wonderful. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. And keep going. PJI.org. I think everybody who is in a company where you have over 100 employees, you want to know what your legal rights are, what you can do to stop the jab if you don't want it. That'll have the information there for you. PJI.org. With that, we'll go to Bob, New Mexico. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon, pastors. Appreciate what you do. Got a tough question to ask. What, in your, maybe not your opinion, but what can we find what the Word of God says about a Christian that takes his own life, that commits suicide? What are your feelings?
Well, the Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. And suicide basically says I'm denying faith. So I think a person is in real trouble. Now, let me put it this way. Do I believe every person that commits suicide goes to hell? I don't think I can say that. I don't think anybody else can, because I think a person that would kill themselves is not in the right mind. And we know God's merciful to those people who are out of control of their faculties. However, we do see many places in the Bible where people did kill themselves, whether it be Samson, whether it be Saul. We find this that goes on, and it never puts suicide in a positive light. Because of that, I tell people, don't kill yourself. No trial lasts forever. You will get through it. God's still on his throne. Because if we did, there would be people at the next trial any Christian had, we'd be out killing ourselves. And so I don't believe the Bible says thou shalt not murder. That means a predetermined desire to end a life, whether it's somebody else's or your own. And I think that's a real, real problem. And I will say this, you don't want to live your life as a Christian in question marks. There is no verse in the Bible that says, oh, if you kill yourself, you're going to go to heaven. And I have heard ministers, very well-known ministers, say, oh, yeah, you'll still go to heaven. I don't know where in the world they come up with this. It is probably rooted in a false teaching of the eternal security that once saved, always saved. So you can go out, party down, kill yourself, do whatever you want. You're still going to heaven. That is not in the Bible. Very clearly, the Bible says, if you abide in me, are you abiding in Christ? Now, I know Paul himself said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said in verse 8, he said that we were, verse 9, he said, we were pressed. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant of the trouble that came to us when we were in Asia. We were pressed beyond measure and we despaired even of life. Well, that's suicidal. But then he goes on to say, but these things happened that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So I think a person that is moving towards the idea of suicide is really trying to fix the problem their way rather than God's way. Paul says they were pressed beyond measure, despairing of life, but these things happened so they would turn to God. I believe that's important. So I want to just say, I don't, God's the ultimate judge. God knows the heart. But I just want to say that it is not a guaranteed thing in the Bible. And I don't want to add to God's word. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, I think, what Mike mentioned about somebody not being in their right mind. I've unfortunately, as a pastor, been involved in several funerals that were suicides. And it's difficult, very difficult, because the family is always looking you in the eye saying, did they go to heaven, even though they committed suicide? With some of them, there was one man in particular who was in terrible physical agony. He had had a back operation after back operation. Nothing helped. And the pain eventually, in my opinion, finally just kind of drove him out of his mind. And he took his life. I've also presided over funerals where I knew the person had been deeply depressed. And I believe you can reach a place in dark depression where you're clearly not thinking rationally, and it's mental illness. And, you know, we talk about physical illness. If somebody dies of cancer, we don't say they went to hell. If somebody is mentally ill and they do something irrational because they don't have their faculties, I'm careful to say that they may not have gone to heaven. I think ultimately only God knows. I know this. I wouldn't want to take my chances. One other thing, you know, here we have to think, well, let me just make a statement. What seals us in Jesus' kingdom? is not repentance of each sin we've committed, but it's really the faith in Christ's power to cover all of our sins. And here's the verse. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Well, so there you go. When the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, you're sealed. Now, again, I don't know if every person that commits suicide goes into goes to heaven or goes into a Christless eternity. I don't know. But I do believe that there are many times when someone takes their life, they are clearly not in a right frame of mind. And I have to believe that God takes that into account. I have to believe that, because that is the teaching of Scripture, and I place my belief in Scripture. Having said that, I would never say, oh, yeah, you know, kill yourself. You'll go to heaven. Because no. That's a very dangerous position to take. So would I recommend it to anybody? Absolutely never, no. But do I believe that anybody and everybody that has killed themselves as believers doesn't make it to heaven? No, I can't say that either. That may sound a little bit convoluted, Bob. I don't know, but I think that a part of it we don't know. But I do believe in the mercies of God. Even some of the people I've buried in funerals that were suicides, I do not believe they went to hell. I don't believe Samson went to hell. I just can't.
He's listed as a champion of faith.
Yeah, he's in Hebrews 11. So, and he clearly killed himself. He knew what he was doing, and he killed himself. Saul killed himself. Do I believe Saul's in hell? You know, I don't know about that. Judas, who killed himself in the field of blood, there's no question in my mind that Judas went to hell. So there you go, Bob. Hope that helps some.
Yeah, you know, we don't want to add to God's word, and we don't want to take away from it. Hope that helps.
It sure does. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I tell everybody, never live your life in a question mark when the word of God is so clear in the way that we should live. Stay in line, Bob. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll enjoy. Share them with your friends. Let's go to Eric, Dallas, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hey, pastors. I just had a really quick question about a self-proclaimed prophet, if you've heard of him, Timothy Dixon. He started off with maybe 1,000 followers on YouTube, and now he's amassed probably over 80,000, almost 90,000 people now. And a lot of what he says hasn't happened. And the goalpost keeps getting pushed back. And whenever I tried to ask other people that believe in him, why haven't these things happened that have been dreamt about and whatnot, they always get very defensive and said, you know, you're not going to, like, harm the prophets and whatnot. So I guess my question is, what is the healthy approach to these, I guess, these end-time prophecies, end-time prophets that are emerging left and right? And, you know, what's the right way to go about approaching people that believe in them without insulting them? And, you know, what's the healthy mindset to have?
Well, I don't care if I have to insult people. I mean, you've got to tell people the truth. And if they make a prediction, it doesn't happen. The Bible says they're a false prophet. End of message. It doesn't matter about everything else. In fact, in Bible days, they weren't even allowed to live. They would be taken out and stoned to death. So you make a prophecy and it doesn't come to pass, you're done. So there's no trying to placate people that say, oh, well, this person's so cute and they're so nice. Yeah, maybe he is a prophet. Maybe he's making a good prophet. I don't know who he is. But I can tell you this, if you make prophecies, you claim a date, it doesn't happen, you're a false prophet. That's what the Bible says, and don't listen to any more that they have to say. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Exactly. Timothy Dixon, I don't know a whole lot. I know he's a long-haul truck driver who began to receive visions and dreams and prophetic forecasts about the future. Some of them have not happened. And as Mike was sharing, the Bible is so clear. God spoke through Moses and said, look, if somebody says they're a prophet and they forecast a future event and it doesn't come to pass, they're a false prophet. That's what it says. It's funny. I have quoted that verse in my church and had people leave my church because I quoted that verse because they were listening to a lot of these self-proclaimed prophets regarding the reelection of Donald Trump to the presidency. And I said, look, so many of them predicted, oh, it's a shoo-in. He's going to win. And he didn't win. And they kept, as you said, Eric, moving the goalposts. And anytime a so-called prophet moves the goalposts, you've got it right there. His timing. Listen, in the Bible, a prophet not only predicted accurate events, but one of the amazing things is they predicted the exact time of those events. And they did it boldly. And they came to pass as they said. So, Timothy Dixon, we're in a day that Jesus said false prophets, false Christs, false messiahs, and false prophecies were going to absolutely proliferate and flourish. And I believe social media has given a platform to so many false prophets, you can't even count them anymore. They're everywhere because of social media. And I've been amazed that some of these people whose prophecies have failed over and over again have, 100,000 followers, 150,000 followers. It's like, are you people paying attention to this person who has made all these future forecasts that they haven't come to pass like they said, and yet you keep following their newest prediction? I mean, come on, folks. The Bible prophets were precise. They were unerringly accurate, uncannily accurate. And, we've got to get to the place where our discernment antenna are up. And if somebody misses it, you need to say, you know what? At least right now, you are a false prophet because you prophesied falsely. I think Timothy Dixon is probably just one of the latest of many, many, many that are out there getting the ear of people. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't know who this guy is, but if he predicts a date and doesn't happen, then the Bible already is declared. It doesn't matter if you hurt people's feelings. In fact, you're better off to hurt their feelings and say that somebody's a false prophet than to say, oh, yeah, that's good. Just keep moving the goalposts. Just keep believing. No, that isn't what the Bible says. And you're better off to have told them the truth. They may be an enemy for a while, but eventually they'll become disillusioned with the other false prophecies. And who knows, you may regain them as a friend. Hope that helps, Katie. Or Eric, hope that helps.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Yeah, I just felt kind of bad because, I don't want to make anyone feel like they're stupid. But anytime...
Don't worry about it.
Anytime I started questioning these prophecies, it was like a gang of these Christians saying, how dare you question him and all
that
stuff.
That's exactly what they said about the Trump prophets. I mean, you were cast out of some churches and some parts of the church national. If you disagreed with all these prophets about Trump, you were anathema. But now they've all had to eat warm crow and, don't worry about that. Protect yourself from a false word.
Yeah, you have to. And that's why we have the sure word of God. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, not from prophets. And this is one of the things. Now, if they say, hey, there's going to be a famine, it's going to start, December 22nd, globally. If that happens, tell me more. But if they say something's going to happen and it doesn't happen, then that is God not vindicating their ministry. That's how you know. And that's why we have the Bible. And that is what gives us the directive to be able to say, that's not right. That's not of God. So I hope that helps, Eric.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Pastor.
Stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll really enjoy. And with that, we're all out of time. There's a lot of good questions. Real quick, Danny, I'm just going to talk to Danny. Will we be married in heaven? Yes, we will be. That's the good news. We're all going to be married in heaven. We will be married to Jesus Christ forever. That is the good news. And we're not going to be married to any earthly partner. Doesn't matter whether you're sealed in a temple or something else. We will be married to only Jesus Christ, is what the Bible says, who will fulfill every need in our lives. Hope that helps. For everybody else that's on the line, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Jeff will be with me tomorrow again, and we'll just pick it right up. You won't have to wait in line. Jeff, thanks for being on the program.
Hey, really enjoyed it. Great questions today.
Amen. Yeah, it was great. Look forward to being back with all of you. So until then, God bless you.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.